And of course, now it won't come up.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Join us tonight for another hour of soul food and learning from one another with a light perspective. Some of the diners with us tonight are Robin. Would you like to introduce everyone?
Hi, this is Robin Misevich, and I will be walking through. I'm so glad you guys are at the table to just will be noshing on kinds of wonderful things, and I'm looking forward to having some pizza. There we go.
Pizza.
Well, okay. They're doing pizza. I'm doing pizza.
Okay, and let's go ahead. All these people are saying they're having pizza, and I'm sure our listeners are going, who the heck is that, unless you're like a regular and you know who we're talking to. So, Mr. Jamie, would you introduce yourself and tell us what kind of pizza you would like? How about that?
My name is Jamie Trujillo. I'm a friend of Robin's from high school. I do tattoos for a living. I'm up in Seattle, Washington, the last 14 years. The name of the shop is Chrome Ohm. And pizza, is this thin pizza?
Hey, you know what? Whatever you want. Just, like, name it, and we're just going to have, maybe we'll get to a bunch of little mini pizzas. How about that?
I'll have a green chili and chicken.
Oh, green chili chicken. That sounds pretty darn tasty. Okay, right. And at the opening, you got to hear Miss Gloria. Miss Gloria, please introduce yourself and let us know what kind of little baby pizza you'd like. There we go.
Oh, I want a deep dish pizza, one that is from one of my favorite restaurants in Illinois.
Okay. And who are
you? So we could have it sent in, right?
Of course. We're having it sent to us as we speak. It's exposed by the speed of light. You'll have it in uno momento. There we go. Okay. And Ms. Marvine, would you please introduce yourself?
I'm Marvine Lindbergh, and I'm in California.
She is in California. And Marvine is a wonderful minister.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, she's a wonderful minister. So anybody in the United States, if they like to get married, she is a woman who can take care of that for you. The only thing is that she won't do underwater or jump from a plane. But other than that, you pretty much can do anything you like, and she'll be accommodating you.
Justify.
And I'm also a personal growth consultant.
She is a personal growth consultant, and actually at Flowers for You in Riverside, California, which is my day job. We're actually in the process of doing we're remodeling, and it's very exciting because we're doing it in a level of just really reinventing the store and really looking at the future for what's happening in the Riverside and just on a level of service, and we're excited to see what direction that's going to go. So if you guys want more information on that, you can reach me after the show. So Mr. Jamie, how about we kind of do a little Mother Earth update and let us know what's going on with Chrisa? We actually have some good news. He's going to be a good news bearer.
Yes, that's better than the bad news I usually have, but I guess that BP has finally capped the runaway oil well, and that would be on, I believe the official day would be Thursday of last week, but I think it was more Wednesday night. And
okay.
Then I cut this out of the paper on Wednesday, and it said it had been 85 days, 16 hours, and roughly 25 minutes. That was the time that oil gushed into the Gulf of Mexico. The other,
wow.
By the numbers, they had 184 million estimated number of gallons of oil released into the Gulf since April 20th. They have a 572, that's the miles Gulf Coast shoreline oiled, 2,700 square miles, size of the visible slick on the surface. 83,927 square miles, size of the area still closed to fishing, and the last one was $3.5 billion amount that BP has spent on the response.
Wow.
With that capping, they're testing the integrity of the cap, hoping the pressure comes up. So that means that there are no leaks. So if they're is another leak or somewhere underneath, the pressure would not build. They're kind of saying that the oil itself may deplete it after running for so long. I think that they still are going to drill the relief wells in case of something other than what they kind of are trying to do now. So they're trying, I think they're going to see if the cap is going to work, and if it doesn't or there's another leak, they don't know what to do then. But as of right now, there's no oil flowing, and they're still testing to see as far. I think they're going to wait for the relief wells to be dug. So that is good news.
That is very good news. Do you know if they still have a camera showing the opening so people can see that there isn't any oil?
Oh, of anymore? Course. I think there's always that live feed now. It is looking clearer, and the oil is not spewing out. Although they're still trying to figure out what they're going to do, they still may need to do a top kill, I believe it's called, or this is a different, but with the cap, they have more control.
Well, that is good news. And the good news, too, is like they were projecting out too that wouldn't be happening until August. And we're, you know, at least, a couple weeks ahead of time for scheduling.
Right.
So that's wonderful. Wow.
They're still
14.
Testing and seeing how what's going to happen with that. But that's better news than for the last 80 days or so.
I just hope the whole world pays attention on this and gets the message that you know, there's a lot more at stake here than what meets the eye, and a lot more possibilities and risk. Because ultimately what happens is the people are the ones that wind up paying for it, and on a spiritual level, we're depleting a lot of things in the earth that you know, who knows how long historically it took for that oil to accumulate to that mass, and how quickly it's been released, and how long is it going to be to replace it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had reviewed a couple, I think it was last week or the week before that, we were making a discussion about the Valdez, and the Valdez only, I think, was leaking for about 2 weeks. I think it was actually not even that long, and it took that bay over a year to recover. But the good news on that was...
I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about the actual oil itself.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's just so many levels of, you know, with the mammal life. I mean, we're talking about the effects on the ocean and just the weather. I mean, some I know weather people are talking about the fact that there's going to be traces of oil in our rain.
But you see...
There's so much of it being evaporating and going into the atmosphere.
The upside of all of this, though, is that I do believe for a lot of people it shows the trauma, but it also shows the determination for growth, the determination on how to fix it as opposed to just allowing it to be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's big.
Well, and just the connection between humanity and then wanting to go out and taking care of all the animals that have been affected on some levels of feeling like, you know, just the smallest amount of compassion and just taking action. I mean, there was a story a few months, I think we did it about a month ago, where a man was being interviewed by a reporter, and he was just so frustrated by looking at the coastline that he literally stopped his car and he went running across, and there was a bird that had gotten just covered with oil, and he ended up saving the bird and taking it to one of the rescue, you know, shelters. And the reporters were just amazed because they looked out and didn't see that bird, but the guy did. And it was just something small and an action that he could do, knowing on that level he could make a difference. And that's what it takes.
Well, and we all can
small
make
levels
a
of action. Absolutely.
Yep. In every aspect.
I was watching the Science Channel tonight, had two back-to-back episodes of alternative for green, you know, the different things we can do for energy. And it was just so encouraging to see a lot of our natural resources being, you know, the wind and wind power, solar power, water power, and how just all over the world how so many industries are just going to bat with this stuff. Actually, China is just really, they've made it a national a pledge that that's what they're dedicating themselves to, and really a lot of their industries have been turned around to being the forefront of having things available for people. So
well,
that's very interesting.
When you talk about China, when you talk about China and their pollution, are you specifically speaking about water? Because they recently had an article about UFO sightings, two in the last week, and there's been four over the last 20 years, two of which were the last week. And
yeah,
they were
I noticed that.
And they were putting it down to industrialized and polluted air as well, in addition to the military and the economic development within the country.
Right. Well, and they're saying that they realize there's going to just be burnouts all over the place if they weren't going to take, you know, action of making it different.
Well, anything that we do that is a major impact on the ionosphere and atmosphere, it one way or another, ultimately is going to impact the other galaxies. And I've heard from different sources for a long time that there was a concern, because we can't be, you know, I think the quote was, we can't be stupid enough, and this was by a scientist, by the way, that we think that we're the only ones in the universe, and that push comes to shove, it may be run interference by some, by beings from other places, which is, I suppose, a possibility.
Okay, Marvin, you just have to remember that the Earth is flat.
Okay.
If you go to the edge.
I'm good to go to that, but you know what? I haven't come to the edge yet. I might be falling off of it.
That's right. I mean, that edge is out there, and you know you're going to fall. You just know it.
But would you go with me?
It's got cheese inside of it.
Would you go with me?
What was the question? What was the question?
I said it has cheese inside of it.
What's up for the first step?
That's right. Our cheese has got the cheese.
Okay.
It's got cheese inside of it.
I still haven't heard the question.
Which one?
I don't know. Somebody asked a question.
Well, I wouldn't
I
know.
Just said, would you walk to the edge of the earth with me?
Oh, of course. I'll jump. I'll read the way.
We're all in there, right? Okay. I'm good to go with that.
Oh, heck. Marvin, I've got to be first. I've got to be first to jump. I've got to beat you.
He's got to beat you. Oh, okay.
Just promise if you're
going to
beat me, don't bruise me.
Oh, watch out.
Yeah, he's definitely not cheap.
Hey, Marvin,
okay.
Did you say what kind of pizza you wanted? I don't think we asked you your pizza.
Yeah. Actually, I like a self-rising crust, and I prefer onions and mushrooms and olives.
Oh, okay. She's having a veggie pizza. That's good. That's good. Yeah, like sausage and mushrooms are my favorite. There you go. That's one of my all-time favorites. That's good. Well, they're all on their way because there's little mini ones. You know, they don't take very long to bake, so that's exciting. And then we can all walk off our Earth. There you go.
Is this California, the California Pizza Kitchen, or is there? I haven't been there,
but
still famous, isn't it?
Well, yeah, of course it is. Yeah, because it's, you know, it's California, you know.
Wolfgang Puck have a pizza business too, I think?
Yes. He's got almost I don't know how many businesses. I don't know how many restaurants Mr. Wolfgang Puck has. He has a lot. He must have five or six different, because he's got.
But is it fired in an oven and not, I mean, like a brick oven and not like a metal oven? Is that the difference?
Well, you know, we're lucky because we basically have that option with when we get our pizzas. We can tell them whether we want it in a brick oven or just the regular oven. I prefer brick. There you go.
And it's the real thin crust and it cooks real quick and it's all prepped,
you know,
right?
They've got deep dish. They've got the thin, so you can have whatever you want. There
now,
you go.
By deep dish, is it mostly dough or is it more ingredients that are built up?
Depends on where you're.
It used to be kind of one or the other. If you got it like at Pizza Hut or somewhere else,
it's kind of like people.
Because they used to be square, and then you cut them up in big squares instead of the slices, you know.
Yeah, kind
of. Did you
hear
what Marvin said? She says it's kind of like people. Go ahead, you need to elaborate on that, Miss Marvin.
Well, I mean,
I already know there's some people who have more depth than others.
Well, some people are very doughy.
And some of them are very thin, and some of them are self-rising.
Self-rising. Yeah, when you said self-rising, I go, that sounds like a Marvin thing to say. She was self-rising.
but I think, you know, and I think the ingredients within each individual, and I'm not talking pizza here, are unique and special to that particular individual. And sometimes it's okay to mix it up a bit, but I think a lot of us have our own basic ingredients. And I believe that with a connection, let's say just between the four of us right now, okay, the connection, we add our ingredients to the crust, and hopefully we come out with something extremely hot and flavorful.
And tasty.
Huh.
Yeah, so.
Very tasty. Okay, I think I need a beer. Okay, no.
All of a sudden, I hear one of those recently famous songs. We're going hot, hot, hot.
All righty then.
So there you go. You know, pizza and beer, that's pretty darn good. So there we go.
You know, in Holbrook, that little bowling alley used to have quite a pizza, but that's a long time ago.
Well, you know what? I don't think most bowling alleys would be worth their weight if they didn't have a decent pizza.
Right.
You know?
Really?
Because I mean, you know, yeah. If you're gonna, it's in the burger. You know, if you're gonna have the burger, you're gonna have the pizza. If you go bowling, it's always gotta have some French fries.
Right.
I guess I'm speaking. This is my personal opinion. You know, bowling. Yeah, but imagine trying to bowl and you've got greasy fingers from your French fries. Yeah, that's not a good combination. Anyway.
Well,
ooh,
I can
out.
Imagine you trying to use the ball after you ate, you
yeah,
bowled
really.
With the greasy French fries or whatever.
Greasy fingers, you know, especially
whatever.
You don't want fries in your bowling ball. That's not a good combination either. So.
No.
So have you guys all? I sent all the all our regulars a connection to YouTube. There has been a phenomenon of
I
these.
I didn't get anything.
You didn't get anything? You didn't get the menu? Okay, well, we're going to play it tonight.
I got the menu, but...
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah,
there
I
was
got
a link
it.
On there for the double rainbow. There, it actually was... Okay, this is the back history that I just learned about this a little while ago. There, the video, if you go to YouTube, it's this double rainbow, and the one that you want is the one that has a light yellow background on it, okay? Because there's all these spoofs on it now. But originally, this guy went ahead and filmed it in January of this year, and it's actually right outside Yosemite. It's Sequoia. Sorry, it's Sequoia, up in the middle of California. And he saw this double rainbow. And there's some brothers that went ahead and they take electronics and they basically make it to where anything that people are saying, they can make it into a song. So they wound up making this song, and it's called the Double Rainbow Song now. And as of tonight, it's got like 4 million hits. This thing has just gone crazy. And there's been all these spoofs that have gone off of it. There's one that's like this guy who did, you know, the double arches for McDonald's, and it's like a fast food kind of a thing. And then there's another guy that made one that had to do with, you know, the double Starbucks, one on each corner kind of a thing. So and I was going to go ahead and play that, and I thought we could go ahead and kind of talk about maybe the spiritual perspectives on that. So it's a pretty fun thing. It's about 4 minutes.
I'm
just kind of give
right
you a.
Now.
Yeah, I just want to give you guys, but it's about 4 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and play it, and then we'll talk about it. How about that? Okay, so if you want to sing along, here we go. I guess we only got 15 cents. Okay.
You know what? I didn't know we could do that because I get some really interesting things along similar lines. I should start forwarding those to you, Robin.
Yeah, you could forward it to me. And actually, Kathy is our girl with us. She's our Switchboard girl, and she's just got Miss Tech. I asked her to go ahead and I think she only did about 30 seconds. Actually, that was 30 seconds of the a whole song. But what's really cool is this this young man was watching it, and he's just totally in awe of this rainbow. And what was cool about the double rainbow is it's a reflection of itself. So you see it in its regular pattern of the rainbow colors, and then it's like a mirror image where it goes opposite when you look at the video.
I can see the reflective part of it, and it's interesting because there seems to be a little tent on the right end. Tent, T-E-N-T, on the right with some lights in it, which is kind of interesting, too.
Yeah, so it's really, really kind of cool. But, he winds up almost crying when he's seeing this thing because it's just so profound for him.
Now, do you think that his emotion was true and genuine or a little bit over the top, like I am campy style, and that was the reason that somebody decided to make a song about it? I mean, as in a parody of him himself, or I thought it was that was kind of what I got, and I've read a couple of the things like how they developed doing the song, and but they thought he was way over the top, so I guess that's why they decided to make this into some sort of song. That's
well,
what I got.
Kind of funny,
you know, my take on something like that is. Especially depending on where he is along his growth path, something like that could have had an extremely profound effect on him. And even though, it was reflectory on it, it may be something that he needed for his own personal wake-up call, and people just took the ball and ran with it.
Yeah.
True. And even having recorded it, but some people, I mean, I'd read that they thought it was a little, he was like maybe on something, but I don't know, maybe not. To be so, I mean, I've seen plenty of rainbows. They don't see the double rainbow, and, you know, that's nice.
Possible, you know.
Right.
Yeah, he had a favorite pizza and a beer, and he was happy.
Right.
Okay.
The guys that created the tune had enough, like, oh, let's do this. They're very creative. That's quite a on their part to do that, and it's a viral video, and it's even it's kind of self-replicating, and people are making parodies of the two guys singing, so we're making
exactly.
A reference to the double rainbow thing.
It's his own little thing about the way that people are using the reference of double rainbow for all kinds of stuff now.
It's like a life of its own somewhat.
Right, it's got a, they're basically, putting that off for just, slang now. You know, it's another part of slang when somebody calls it a double rainbow. It's this awesome thing, it's a double, it's this thing, it's cool, it's like, wow, double rainbow.
I thought that used to be a ice cream joint, wasn't it, double rainbow?
Double rainbow,
oh,
I don't
brother.
Know.
Rainbow sherbet, yeah, I got it.
Two scoops, that's good, okay. But I just wanted to pass that along to you guys. You know, it's just something kind of fun to see what's happening on that kind of level. And even if people are making parodies of it, I think it's a very profound thing because it's that symbolic message of things being bigger than we can imagine. It's the promise of good things happening and stuff like that. So I just thought it was just really neat that people are just playing with it and just putting it out there in lots of different ways.
Well, and I think another thing, too, I think, especially today, people are needing and looking for more laughter and more lightness because there's so much intensity that seems to be going on out there. And yet, through all of it, there is light and there is growth. You guys, I'm going to have to get off early because I have a friend here from Castaic, and I'm going to spend some time with her. And
okay, girl. Well, thank you for coming on,
really,
and
the green movement too. So that's another. That would be another good topic.
Yeah, if she wants to come back on, we would love to have her come on, and we can. I'll talk to you about that when I see you. How about that?
Okay. Night, you guys. Yep. Night, Jamie.
Okay.
Night, Gloria.
Okay. Good night.
Talk to you,
girl. Have a good night.
Bye.
Yeah. So I just thought that was a very, very, very interesting, and it's fun. Like I said, it's fun to see all that kind of going on. So that's very cool. So what did you think of that, Gloria?
Which part?
Oh, just the whole idea of the rainbow and having to make a spoof on it.
Well, a spoof is a spoof. I said a spoof is a spoof. I'm kind of over the top with spoofs, yeah.
Okay, okay.
You know, it's like been there, bought the T-shirt. It's just, I just find it annoying.
Okay.
More than anything.
Okay, well, that's okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, there's different things. Like recently, I saw one today where there's a guy that is serenading sharks underwater with an underwater guitar.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay. You know, and it would be one thing.
He actually was doing it.
No, he does do it. And it would be one thing if, for me, it would be one thing if they were doing a scientific study about sound, you know, and the effects on the animal itself. And yet, you know, he tells it from a place where when he was 7, he had this inspiring event happen where this shark was cutting right at him, and then it veered off to the other direction, and it didn't hurt the fact that he was 7 years old watching a National Geographic special. You know, so it's like, yeah, you've got all of these reasons, but, you know, it's like, where's the validity? I mean, people are looking at marketing and the way that they carry things, and spoofs are spoofs.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, that's cool. I thank Jamie for his perspective on the fact that they're thinking this guy was, like, under the influence of something.
Well, they were so thrown that he was so overjoyed and emotionful and about seeing that. I guess you'd have to have been there.
Well, if it's a spoof, that's one thing. But if it's a valid emotional experience, that's another.
But then it's like, if we would never have known this person reacting if he hadn't recorded it, and then if like hadn't been leaked or put on YouTube. I mean, it would be one thing if it was just like he saw it, and then he saw it, and maybe he described it to somebody. But it's another thing to have it actually, you know, he's recording himself, you know, having an emotion. I don't know. It seemed,
right,
and that's what with today, nowadays, everybody has a little a camera. There's always something. People have cell phone cameras. There's always something. So you cannot be nowadays in public and not be photographed or having somebody take. I mean, it's just technology for you.
Right, and that's fine. I'm saying, though, there's a difference between a spoof. If it's a spoof, then it's kind of over the top. If it's not a spoof and it's a real emotional experience, then that's something that's very valid.
Oh, right, yeah. And I think he was having a genuine experience, and then, of course, you know, somebody has to capitalize on it somehow. And these guys, although, it's you never know with the way they put things on. Sometimes it may be real or may not.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Well,
and
last,
in fact,
last
some of the spoofs are so well made that you don't even know if it's an actual occurrence or just somebody advertising something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the story on that was it was back in January that the guy actually had just filmed it, and then they ended up finding it, and then in the last month or so they did the production on it, and then they went ahead and released it on YouTube. So it's only been actually 2 weeks where it's actually been out there. And actually, because it became famous, it's because one other talk show host ended up Twittering about the fact that they were going to talk about it, and then once it got Twittered, people started viewing it, and that's basically how it really got just exploded, where everybody was checking it out, and then all the spoofs started and stuff like that. So I
agree that there are a hell of a lot of spoofs that aren't really funny, and there's no reason for them other than people having to see themselves or something.
Yeah, exactly. So we had to say goodbye to Miss Marvine, but Mr. Bruce Dixon's back with us, and he was here last week. Hi, Dick. How are you? Hi, Bruce. How are you?
Robin, it's great to be back. I had a wonderful time with you and Marvine and your friends. Yeah, flowers for you.
Thank you. He's referring to, we had a workshop this last Sunday, and it was a really wonderful experience to see Bruce in action. He was showing us how using body testing to be able to learn about yourself and what that's all about. Just a reminder to Bruce, we also have Jamie on the call, and we also have Gloria. But they're both here at the table, so big hi to both of those guys. So there we go.
And are we still right?
Yeah, we are having pizza. Yours is coming out right now, dude. Okay. Speaking of pizza, Mr. Bruce, would you like some pizza? We're at the pizzeria tonight.
Sure. Okay.
What's your favorite? You can have whatever you want, and you just let us know what your favorite is, and they're going to make a little mini pizza.
Whole wheat deep dish.
Another deep dish.
He's a deep dish guy. He's a deep dish. Okay. And what would you like for your topping?
Cheese and tomato, and maybe
cheese
green
and tomato.
Pepper. Yeah.
Okay, cheese, tomato with green pepper. That sounds yummy. Okay, cool. Tonight, Bruce wanted to come back, and we're actually going to be talking about the immune system and actually how you can talk to your immune system and be a self-healer. So do you want to get into that a little bit, Bruce, and kind of tell us a little more about that?
When we talked about this call, we said we were going to talk about the meaning of illness and go through some of those illnesses and maybe pick one and talk about how it's not only a metaphor for individuals but also for the entire country. Did you still want to do one of those?
Sure. Can we back up a little bit? And can you tell people about who you are and how you kind of work through your process a little bit? So just in case somebody that wasn't on the call last week, they kind of can speak with who you are.
Yeah. Well, I do talk to people's immune system. Really, anyone who can muscle test can do that. And if you practice as much as I have, you can pretty much do it without even touching the person because we're all connected.
And what is muscle testing?
Muscle testing is simply asking questions and using a muscle as one of the ways you get feedback. But if you practice this for months or years, you get to the point where you can get that feedback internally. And you eventually realize that it's not the muscles that are responding, it's really the immune system, the habit body, the inner child that's responding. And once you can understand that language, you can pretty much talk to anybody's immune system with their permission.
Okay. Well, you know, and for further clarification for any of the listeners, it's also about the internal muscle memory and the intelligence within the cellular structure of the human physiology. So based upon the physical properties of magnetism and the utilization of the electronic field, the electromagnetic field within the body, it's possible to get accurate answers that you may not be aware of on a conscious level.
All of that's pretty good. It's really helpful for people to hear that their body is smart, their cells are smart, they have innate wisdom. However, it's pitched in a certain way. What they can tell you is what's true or not true for them, and that's basically what it is. So there's a lot of 20 questions games that you have to play with the immune system to find out what's true or not true if the situation's complicated. But a lot of situations people have are pretty simple.
One thing that Bruce had introduced us to was the fact that you're very sensitive to whether you would actually expand or contract when it comes to being able to sense something. You could ask your body something and actually get a feeling whether I feel expanded when I think about either thinking about that or doing that, or I get contracted. Can you talk about that for a couple seconds?
Maybe give
the examples we did in class.
I'm glad you brought that up because the expanding and contracting is like the first, simplest, easiest, and most body-oriented metaphor for true or not true. So if it's true for me, I'm going to expand. I'm likely to expand. If it's not true for me, I'm likely to contract. And most people can, if they get some clear guidance on that, can master that within 15 minutes if they're interested in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And
not even that long.
Practice. Yeah.
Yeah, we did it in class, and Bruce was really great. He used the example of it's a nice, warm, sunny day, and you're at the beach, and you just feel like really open and relaxed. And then the opposite of that would be you're in a really cold situation where don't have enough clothes on, and you actually are very cold, and you're trying to get warm, and you have that uncomfortableness of feeling cold and feeling like you want to just, you know, kind of huddle to yourself, trying to hold on to your energy. So that would be kind of a contracted feeling.
Most people can feel when you paint a polarity that clearly, that starkly, most people can get that there is a difference between those two in their body. And that's the start of listening to yourself, and that's the start of testing.
Mm-hmm. So, Jamie, did you feel cold when I said that?
Oh, I'm putting on a coat right now.
How about you, Jamie?
Who?
Did you get cold when we feeling you don't have enough clothes on? You're kind of cold.
Well, I'm pretty warm-blooded. I admit.
He's probably glad. He's like, oh, good. I don't have to worry about being so hot. Okay, good. Okay. Okay. Well, one of the things that Bruce had really brought up in the class that was interesting was, like you was talking about at the beginning when he came in, of that they're depending on the illness or the imbalance, because basically any illness is just dis-ease, where a lot of illnesses are based in stress, that there would be a dis-ease within the body. And looking at that, it's very interesting because you can look at it at a personal level and looking at into the world and what the dynamics of that would be. So yeah. What one do you think would be real interesting to talk about tonight, Bruce?
Let's talk about diabetes.
Okay. Let's talk about diabetes.
That. Yeah.
Okay.
Most people are illiterate about the metaphors that their illnesses present to them. And diabetes mm-hmm. is especially interesting because it not only has meaning as a metaphor for individuals, but also for our society as a whole. And mm-hmm. once you understand the metaphors that are inherent in diabetes, you can understand why Casablanca, the movie, is such an iconic movie to so many people. So back
okay.
up a couple steps here. The usual way people talk about diabetes when they say, well, why do I have diabetes, is, well, maybe you're having a problem digesting an experience or not feeling nourished, or something's overwhelming or indigestible. And I find that that's kind of in the right ballpark, but not a very helpful place for people to start, because they go, well, duh, and then they kind of get stuck. So I found it much more helpful to talk about diabetes as a left-sided body illness. Like you just don't have diabetes on the right side of the body. You know, there is liver involvement, but primarily it's a left-sided illness.
Why is it left-sided?
Because it's dysfunction in the pancreas.
Pancreas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
primarily.
It's a pancreas imbalance.
But also,
okay.
But energetically, also in the omentum, which is the nerves in front of the stomach, where you get butterflies in the stomach
mm-hmm.
and the spleen behind the pancreas, all of those
okay.
are involved energetically. So
okay.
we have people who have diabetes have a weakness on the left side. And
mm-hmm.
so why would a lot of people have a weakness on the left side? Well,
mm-hmm.
we live in a culture that really values manliness and macho stuff and going to war and all this stuff, and comes from a paternalistic, patriarchal kind of culture. And which side of the body do you think that emphasizes?
The right.
Yeah, that's definitely
mm-hmm.
the right side. So we have this kind of love of our Arnold Schwarzenegger on the right side of our body, and on the left we're feeling a little bit empty. Now this polarity is played out really clearly in the movie Casablanca, where Humphrey Bogart is the macho, self-sacrificing guy who doesn't know how to take care of himself, and he did die of cancer. And then Ingrid Bergman, who's just a wonderful representative of somebody who's kind of completely left-sided and not in a not altogether healthy way either. So they're kind of made for each other. And diabetes has more to do with the Ingrid Bergman side of our body, the left side of our body. So is anybody able to follow this?
Yeah,
of course.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on how she's representing it and being the left?
Yeah. So if we just try to stabilize this idea that we have in America Humphrey Bogart on the right side of our body, also Arnold Schwarzenegger, and we have Ingrid Bergman on the left side of our body, and Judy Garland, the early Judy Garland especially. We start to see a polarity there, a real polarity there that has some meaning. So the ideal, of course, is a balance between these two. We don't want people being overly aggressive and stepping on the faces of other people to get ahead as
mm-hmm.
people who are extreme right side dominant people might do, nor
mm-hmm.
do we want to be so weak that whenever we have to make a decision, we cry and we go to somebody to help us make a decision, and we're very codependent, as somebody who would be extremely left side dominant would be. We want to balance so that we have flexibility between being able to take action and also to take in nourishment from other people.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have a lot of that here in the United States in some ways. And the people who are healers and coaches and people listening to this show are probably interested in more balance. And it's an interesting idea to look at that, like, well, how's my Humphrey Bogart doing today? How's my Ingrid Bergman
mm-hmm.
doing today? Who needs more attention?
Okay. Now, how would that look on? Okay, so we're talking about in society. Is it possible to go to just a global view on what that will look like? Maybe just on
well,
the planet,
no,
or
it's
pretty
much
the thing in society.
It's much more difficult. No, it's really difficult because not every culture is patriarchal.
Okay.
Our culture is,
mm-hmm.
but Thailand's is not, and
mm-hmm.
the Philippines
mm-hmm.
is not. So there's a,
so and it.
It's not so easy to do that.
And so when looking at those cultures, probably the rate of diabetes in those cultures is not going to be high anyway.
That's right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying is true, Robin, that each culture has characteristic diseases. And
mm-hmm.
these diseases do have to do in part with right and left sided issues.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
interesting because I know with Louise Hay. Go ahead, Gloria.
Are the statistics and the information that you're looking at before or after fast food introductions into their cultures?
I'm sorry, after, did you say processed?
After processed foods, after outside influences. Because you're talking cultural, and that's, you know, very valid. Yet, from an anthropological perspective, are we looking at it prior to or after the advent of or the introduction of processed foods? So because like in India and Japan, once they introduced processed foods, you ended up, you started seeing diseases that never existed before.
Yeah, so if they, once they bring pizza in, does that mess them up? No.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. It's very true that the processed food accelerates the nutrition, the mineral deficiencies that contribute to diabetes, absolutely. I was talking more independent of that, but you're joining me in this kind of a project of opening up this metaphor so that we can see that it's really quite visible and obvious in our culture and also in us individually. Now, the more relevant thing for listeners of this show is that, back to diabetes and away from, you know, movies, is that diabetes has to do with the loss of the sweetness of life. When we lose the sweetness of life, we are on a track towards diabetes. So then we're faced with the question, well, what is it that creates and preserves and maintains the sweetness of life? And that has to do with having a dream, a goal, a passion, and taking daily baby steps towards it. And we're back in the cultural thing again. Because if you went to a public school and you were told what to do and how to do it and how to think, and you graduated from high school and didn't know what to do, well, there's a lot of people like that. And when those people are 50, they often feel like they miss something in life, that the sweetness of life eluded them, because they perhaps never got in touch with their own dreams, goals, and passions. So you'll know, listeners of this show will certainly know, that one of the things that healers and coaches harp on over and over and over again is for people to get goals, to find a passion, to identify a dream, and then to commit to it. And these are the things that create the sweetness of life and that restore our left side.
That's a lot to take in.
It's a lot to take in. It's a big subject.
Being diabetic myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I'm greatly interested.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be 52 this year. Yeah. Although I did go to public school and I have a degree in art, I'm doing what I like to do. it's quite popular nowadays, doing tattooing. That's what I do. Although it's kind of stressful at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the level that diabetes operates at is subconscious. So it's not sufficient for people to say, oh, yeah, I have a dream. I want to be, you know, an artist or, you know, a police
officer. Well, I'm doing what I want to do, and I've been doing it for the last, something 25 years or so. Although I find myself at my point in my career where I'm not, well, maybe I feel like I'm on the downcline, but that's just from working so much.
Well, these are rich issues to explore. This is an opportunity to look at these things and to remember what Carl Jung said about illnesses, that illnesses are the modern gods. And this is, not much was ever made of his remark, and I'm kind of making something of it. So in the last 10 minutes, I've spelled out a bit about how diabetes, for a lot of people, has tremendous significance for millions of people, and does have to do with our cultural upbringing and some solutions about some changes we might make.
Well, and they're even saying that through children are nowadays.
Young kids, right?
Yeah. The level of diabetes that's in the just younger people has just never been seen before in our population. That's for sure.
That's partly the lousy food, but it's also partly
inactivity as well as
partly taking away all their dreams. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, you know, if you think it's a video game and basically conquering the game instead of tapping into your own creativity and expressing that, you know, there's definitely a stifling
like
of
that.
Just self-expression.
Something like that. The Waldorf schools have it turned around. If you want to, we don't want to get into, you know, ain't it awful. So the positive is what the Waldorf schools and a lot of charter schools are doing too. There's a lot great diversity in charter schools about how to get kids connected with their dreams, goals, and passions, and head them off that direction. And the Waldorf schools are probably still the best at it, though, because they've been doing it for 80 years.
So my daughter, Kate, was walking through, and she disagreed with what I said.
That's your job.
So there you go. But, that's something that's really, we need to look at that. You know, each generation has their way of expressing that, being able to have that perspective. And I mean, you know, she just circles around certain levels of things that she's very good at details of, like, she's got a company called Muku Charms, where if you go to deviantart.com and go to her Muku Charms, she makes all these little personalized clay characters, and the amount of detail on them is just incredible. And she loves it, and it's just something she does, and she's actually got people from all over the world that purchased her charms. So it's real interesting that that's one of her creativities, but yet she utilizes the internet as a way of letting people know about her craft.
Super. Well, Robin, I'm wondering if you'd like to hear a couple solutions for diabetes.
Absolutely.
Yes, I would.
I know Jamie does.
Well, I got a couple here that I'd like to mention. The one I like the most is the no carbohydrate diet. There's a lot of research on that. And
the no white diet, right?
Excuse me?
I've heard it as, or something, another one is like no white diet. I guess carbohydrate,
well,
that would be it, right?
That could be. That could be a variation on it.
Sugar, bread, rice.
No carbs at all. No carbs at all. So you can look that up, and there's the woman who made that famous. Is that down here? What's her name again? This one. Blah, blah. Dr. Mary Vernon, V-E-R-N-O-N. So if you look her up, she was the president of the American Society of Bariatric Physicians, and she was curing a lot of people of diabetes through the no-carb diet. So she was the first and the most famous one, and I think a lot of the no-carb diets are variations on her plan.
Right.
Another thing that's worth mentioning that listeners might do right away is they can take a page from Donna Eden's energy medicine, and they can sedate the triple warmer meridian. This is all obvious in the book if they have the book or have the chart of acupuncture meridians, by tracing it backwards and by tracing the spleen meridian forwards. This will tend to balance the blood sugar in people who are diabetic. And so that will require some looking up if you don't know what those meridians
are. Is there an easier way to say that?
Can you mention the
really
name of the
thing?
Put my finger in my belly button and no.
No, you actually have to go to Google Images and put in spleen meridian, get a picture of it, and then go back there and put in triple warm meridian, get a picture of it, and then find out which way they're going and trace the triple warmer backwards and the spleen meridian forwards. And this will tend
would
to
you
balance.
hold your hands in certain like at certain places on the body?
No. This is done through intention. Through intention.
Okay. Just through attention. Okay. And how would you focus that once you found those things out, what would you do with that?
That would be your intention, attention?
Attention and intention.
Intention.
Intention, attention. Okay.
If you do it, you're likely to feel a shift if your blood sugar is out of balance. If your blood sugar is not in balance, if your blood sugar is already in balance, you're not going to feel much. But if it's out of balance, you're going to feel a shift as things restabilize. Your blood sugar stabilizes again.
One of the wonderful books that Bruce had available at the workshop was one on the meridian metaphors, and it's the psychology of the meridians and the major organs, and it goes through Chinese medicine looking at all the different organ systems and also how they relate to the elements. And I actually got a copy of that, and I've been looking through that, which is really interesting. So it's another way of being able to be connected to the earth and looking at the way our energies are in balance or you know, just in harmony or disharmony with what we have going on with it. The same thing with the diabetes, being able to look at it that way. So Bruce has a lot of different levels of information depending on if you're a healer, a worker, or even just looking to be, self as a healer and being able to do that. So really want to thank him for he's willing to come on for a few shows and just take one of the different categories of something in disease and kind of talking about that. So through diet and then also looking at the meridian. So that's really good. So yeah, maybe we'll have Jamie and Bruce get together off show so he can kind of share some more information and see if we can get him diabetes free. There we go. You can just talk about that experience. So that would be a real wonderful thing to be able to do that. So Bruce, you want to talk about your websites and how people can get a hold of you?
Sure. I also want to mention that the last solution I want to mention is that people can just try simple self-forgiveness in this area of dreams. And if you try something like, I forgive myself for allowing myself to give up on my own dreams first time, second time, third time, if something starts moving inside, I'd keep counting. And if nothing moves, maybe you're already clear on that point. So you can see more, funny tools that heal like this at toolsthatheal.com. And you can see more about me at healingcoach.org. And there's also some videos at YouTube under healingcoach.org.
Yeah, and I actually had a personal session with Bruce before the workshop on Sunday. I've had issues with sciatic kind of coming and going for the last couple years. And he really walked me through some things, and I'm having a little bit of it talking to me, but I've been using the practice he's talking about as just going back and I'm willing to forgive myself and walking through that. And you can get that phrase on his website and being able to talk, count that.
Is any better? Is it any better?
Yes,
or?
It's much, much better. It's much, much better. He was just kind of whispering to me instead of, before it was screaming at me. And now it's just a little bit of whisper, and I recognize that it's just something that's going away and it's dissipating, and I'm loving it and recognizing that it served me and I can let that go.
I love it.
My way of looking at it. I just thank it for helping me to do what I need to do. So there you go. So it's very profound to know on a lot of different levels how we really help each other. And the sciatic, personally for me, was looking at issues of my family and the way I've been able to interact with them and be of service to them and them to me. So it was something that I really wanted. I've really come to believe that everything is a gift. And especially if we can really come from a place of just non-judgment and loving ourselves or the situation, we can really see the gift in anything that we have for circumstances. They're just teachers. Yeah. They're here to teach us things that we can move forward with and have them be really wonderful things. So that's cool. So what do you want to talk about next week, Bruce?
I'm going to talk about cancer. I don't think it's so much of a societal metaphor, but There's a lot of mystery around cancer that I find is just not necessary. So I'll try to get
little teaser for everybody, and I'll make sure to have that on the menu next week so everybody can be able to do that. And hopefully we'll get an update. We'll like I said, we can get you and Jamie together. So he can just call back and say, I don't have diabetes anymore.
Oh, my.
How's that sound, Jamie? That sounds pretty good, huh?
Sure.
Okay, there you go. How long have you been diabetic?
Myself, well, diagnosed maybe 5 years. Undiagnosed,
5 years.
I don't know.
Okay.
How long before I realized that? My dad is diabetic. Two of my brothers are, in fact.
Uh-huh.
My mom isn't.
I've
actually have a pretty good control of my blood sugar, although I'm still diabetic, and I have the neuropathy, and, you know, I've gotten my oral hygiene in control to help my blood sugar. I also had part of my toe removed because I had an infection in my on my toe that threatened my entire foot. So I'll tell you, it's been quite a haul, and I realize that my days are finite, but I'm trying to make myself better.
So, Bruce, do you ever find, is that a situation where depending how long someone has had the imbalance, their level being able to let that go?
No, the time is not a factor. The relevant factor is willingness to heal.
Okay.
If the willingness to heal is high, just about anything will work, even
okay.
a medical intuitive.
Okay. Yeah, believe it or not. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes they're your hardest subjects, I'm sure, huh?
No, the hardest subjects are the people who think they want to get better, but are really of two minds and don't know that half of them doesn't want to get better.
Hard and
to help
we can
them.
Body test for that to see what part of the body wants to be a little more stubborn than the other, huh?
Yeah, it's hard to get them to see that they're not in alignment on their goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the whole idea of the two minds. Bruce was actually sharing that in the workshop as well. For just looking at things for, you know, part of you thinks is looking one direction, part of you is another direction. It's no wonder that you've got the imbalance because you're not looking in the same direction for being able to carry a solid vision of yourself. So I have a wonderful after-dinner mint now that we've finished our pizzas. And this is from Oprah Winfrey. How about that? It says, the smallest change in perspective can transform a life. What tiny attitude adjustment might turn your world around? There you go. That's a very good quote, considering what we've been talking about. Yeah. Just the smallest change of perspective. Actually, I was talking to Marvin the other day about that, too, and on her business card, she's got this really wonderful quote, but it said, willingness is the first step to change.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's a wonderful wonderful perspective as well, just to recognize that, you know. And the vision of seeing yourself in a new way. You know, letting go of those things that you've thought you needed. Because I'm sure even if it is something that's a disease, if you've known it for a while, it's a matter of it's almost a security blanket. Like, who would I be if I didn't have this anymore? You know, there's a certain level of identity that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
So willingness
mm-hmm.
is very, very good.
Okay,
so we're down to our last minute. And so next week we'll be doing another update with Mr. Bruce and seeing how that goes. And the last couple of weeks I've been trying to do a movie review, so I'm sure we're gonna throw that one in. So we went into the double rainbow instead. So we'll be talking with you guys on the other side. So we'll get some doggy bags, make sure all that pizza goes with us, and you guys drive careful. So thank you for coming, and we really want to thank all of our listeners, and we look forward to seeing you next week on the Transformation Cafe.
Wonderful. Good night.
Take care.
Good night.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by checking out our website, transformation-cafe.com, where all our previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.